Hey, this is Carrie Peters.
And Stacey Morgenstern.
And welcome to Better Than Ever, a Health Coach Institute podcast.
Where we're here to question how we do life because the normal rules no longer apply. Hello, Better Than Ever podcasters. Hannah Duncan here, and I am so excited to welcome back Ms. Samantha Schmuck to the Better Than Ever podcast. You heard from her on our last podcast where we talked about the Jump Into July Challenge and showing up for the big five areas of your life. And today we are going to talk about something that I'm really excited about. It is why work-life balance is a lie. Yes, you heard it here on the Better Than Ever podcast. Work-life balance is a lie, and we're going to tell you why. Sam, welcome back. How are you doing? It's the third week of the Jump Into July Challenge. How's it going for you?
Thank you. Thank you. Two times in 1 month is such a treat. And the challenge has been amazing so far. It's so cool to see so many people showing up for themselves. Speaking of our first podcast that we did, but truly showing up for themselves in their movement and just taking things forward this month. So that way they can end the year having moved movement forward as opposed to kind of forgetting about it back in January.
Yep, that's important. So let's dissect this topic, work-life balance. We hear about it a lot, like BuzzFeed does a bajillion articles on it, and it's so important, and you have to have a healthy work-life balance. So Sam, can you tell me what you think work-life balance actually is, and then I'll read you a little bit of what Wikipedia told me it was.
Love it. You know, it's a great question, because if I think about what it really is, like, I just kind of sit here with a blank mind. Like, what is work-life balance really mean? And how can we truly define it when each person has such a different lifestyle and mm-hmm. such different work demands? We can put a blanket definition where it's feeling good and you're feeling balance and ease and relax going from work to life to back. And it's this kind of fluid thing, just feels really butterfly and unicorns. But if we start to break it down, that's where I think a lot of people, myself as well, fall into this trap of feeling like we're never achieving it because there's not a great definition on it.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of great definitions, Wikipedia, which never lies, describes it as the term used to describe the balance that an individual needs between time allocated for work and other aspects of life. Areas of life other than work life can be, but not limited to, personal interests, family, social, and leisure activities. You're working and then your life outside of work and it's balanced perfectly. And that doesn't make sense because that's not how it is. I have a smartphone that has my work email on it. I get calls, you know, at random hours. I think through projects sometimes when I'm like in bed, like that doesn't make sense to me. Does it, what does it mean to you? You're laughing at me.
Well, all of a sudden it dawned on me, and I said, you know, maybe that definition was created before the internet, before cell phones, before technology that caused work to seep into other areas of our life, where before we showed up, we went to work, we actually physically left the house, drove or took transportation to an office. We worked our 8 hours and we left it in the office. Mentally, it might be there a little bit, but for the most part, it was so easy to leave it. But now with working from home, with technology, social media, like with all of these different things, it's very, very difficult sometimes to feel like you can even get away from work.
Yeah. And sometimes you don't necessarily want to get away from work because like sometimes you actually like what you're doing. And so having work that sort of seeps into your personal life, like that doesn't necessarily have to be a bad thing. Like it can be an exciting thing. But I am also thinking of like just the brain power, like take away the phones, take away, you know, Skype and being on call, whatever. Take away all of that, just the brain power that you have from going from work and say you're working on some type of project. And a lot of the stuff I do is creative. So I spend a lot of like thinking time on it outside of my work hours. But that's not necessarily a bad thing. I enjoy doing it. But it is like, it's kind of intertwined. Like things inspire me that I see. So, you know, I don't understand how you can have like 9 to 5, then you're done. And then you go off and then you like play sportball with the kids and stuff. Like it doesn't work that way. I mean, you can't possibly have a perfect work-life balance.
Absolutely. It's when you think of that definition, it's coming from it at the sense of being segregated, as you're saying, like work is one thing, life is another thing, and the two never co-intermingle. So how do we find the balance between the two? Mm-hmm. But they totally intermingle, especially if you are a project lead or you're leading an initiative for something. That creative thinking time is going to happen all times of the day when you get inspiration. We can't just completely segregate our mind to be like, nope, only turn on at 9 a.m. Monday through Friday. Never think about those topics again. You know, it's really difficult to do that. So that's where we want to look at a new definition of work-life balance, where it does take us as dynamic human beings into consideration and help set us up for success when we try to think of how to balance these two quote-unquote different worlds.
You know, I really liked this definition. This was from, like, I did a Googles, and I came up with this definition by Business Dictionary. And part of it states most psychologists would agree that the demands of an employee's career should not overwhelm the individual's ability to enjoy a satisfying personal life outside of the business environment. And I think, like, if anything, that sort of defines work-life balance in the best way that it possibly can. So, like you can still have aspects of work in your life, but it shouldn't overwhelm it. And I think that makes sense to me. Like, I don't want to be like, you know, called at 9 p.m. at night every day of the week from my boss being like, hey, did you do this, this, and this? But I also think that it's okay if, you know, like I'm at the grocery store and getting groceries and also thinking through a project that I need to work on. Or if I have inspiration, suddenly I can write it down. So it's not overwhelming, but it's still intertwined.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if they meant to do this, but it's a very similar definition to addiction. Right? You know, addiction, the definition of addiction, slightly condensed version, but it's, you know, anything that starts to impede your life or take away the quality from it is when you're addicted to something where it's starting to impact your life. And that really just resonated with me when you read that definition of, as long as they can still have a satisfying personal life without it being debilitated by their career, then definitely. And I think that's the most generalized definition of work-life balance that can help people feel like they're not constantly striving for something and never finding it, because they can individually assess, am I still fulfilling my personal relationships? Am I still doing hobbies and activities and passions that bring me to life, that fuel the energy that I have for my career? Or is every single thought, waking energy, stressor in my life attached to my career? If that's the case, then we know that scale is highly in favor of career and no longer the personal life.
Mm-hmm. I understand that one. You know, and I think a lot of our listeners do too, because a lot of them have come from sort of this corporate world where they, you know, like everything's stressful and it's like all encompassing in their life. And they're seeking this new career, like health coaching, life coaching, coaching in general, where they can have this like quote unquote work-life balance where it's like enjoyable, but not like the stress that they felt in the past, if that makes sense. I mean, you're a coach, like you left something in order to have a better work-life balance. I mean, what should we call it? We need to change what it's called because it doesn't make sense. What would you call it instead? And let's change it right now on the podcast forever.
I believe I've also heard it referred to as work-life integration.
Hmm.
And I can't take props for that, because I know I definitely didn't think or originate that one, but I can't remember who I've heard that from. But it was just this premise of work-life integration. And for you specifically, knowing what you love to do in your life, like, what does that integration look like for you? Because you were speaking to something really important, is a lot of people will leave the corporate environment to become a coach. And if we think of work-life balance, if you're not intentional or really curious about what that looks like for you, it can get way harder when you become a coach, because mm-hmm. you're thinking of all of these things that you now get to do, whether that's going to yoga with friends or meditating in the morning or like all these different things. But at the same time, while you're doing those personally, are you writing blog posts about them? Are you recording them for Instagram lives? There's a very fine line where those things that you're doing for your personal life are now actually your work. So how are you viewing them? Because otherwise, every little thing you do, every workout you do, every time you meditate, every time you go for a walk, every time you paint or do something creative where you're trying to show people how to have a fulfilled whole life where it's serving your passions and doing all these things, now every time you do those things for yourself, you're trying to show other people them. Mm-hmm. And it's like, what? My entire life is now my work. And if we're trying to now still separate them, it's like this internal battle of, is that work? Is that life? Is that work? Is that life? I don't know. And it can feel really draining or depleting. But if we know my work is in service to my life, and my work is in service to these other people's lives, then we're not constantly like, oh, how do I find this balance between the two? But it's just this really cool, fluid day-to-day routine where it's like, oh, how awesome is this? I pick a career where the things that bring me to life also bring in an income to support me, to support my family. And consequently, that work that's serving my life is now serving countless other people's lives.
I love that. I love the way that you've put that. That's it. We're done. We don't need to talk anymore. Boom, mic drop.
If you don't know that, it can be so scary when all of a sudden you're realizing all the things you thought you were now going to have the space to do for yourself are now actually considered work in this career. Mm-hmm. I know when I was out with my family this past weekend, I was paddleboarding, and I joked to my mom and I said, hey, take a picture of me paddling. And she laughed at me. I said, hey, this is my work. Don't laugh at this. But you can make like fun and light of it. But when you start to notice, there's a time to be intentional to turn it off, where you're not documenting every meal that you make for Instagram or things like that. Mm-hmm. So it's just having kind of boundaries. That's really what it comes down to, is boundaries in place of when you're wanting to showcase the things that you do personally, as opposed to when you truly just want to do them for you.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, another thing that I'm thinking of that I wanted to talk about, because both you and I, we are not moms. We're dog moms, but we don't have a family. And I think that, you know, work-life balance, or whatever we want to call it. What was the one you liked? It was
integration.
That's what it was. I think that adds an entire other layer when you have more than just your fur babies depending on you. And I read this article not too long ago, and I think I sent it to you. I wish I could remember what it was, because I think that you all would love it, but I can't remember what it was. So I'm going to describe it in the best way that I possibly can. And it was basically a mother who, you know, she loves her job, and but she also has like a whole family, and she's like talking through her entire day. And she's like, this is why work-life balance does not work, because, you know, I get up in the morning, I answer my emails, I go through all of that stuff, and then it's time to make breakfast for the kids, and then it's time to get them to school. And while I'm on the way to school, I'm calling my assistant being like, blah, 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 can we get this, this, and this? And then I'm present for my kids, saying goodbye, and then I get to work, I do this, this, and this, and then I, you know, I get a call from school, hey, my son's not feeling well, I go pick him up. And then I've got like, you know, baseball practice later in the afternoon, and I know that I need to stop by the store to go pick up snacks for them. So I run by the store, pick up snacks, pick up my son, and get him home, get back on my computer, continue working. And she was just talking about her entire day and how like work was like intertwined amongst, you know, like this family life that she has. And so it was like, there wasn't like a set, like, okay, she's working from this time to this time, and like, that's only work, like, because that's not possible. It isn't possible to just sort of turn off. If you, and I think this is really important for employers to sort of think of like, okay, these people have lives, they have families. How can we give them the best work environment that allows them to be present for their families, but also gives them, you know, like the capability to complete their work at the same time? And I kind of like looked at that and I was like, wow, okay, this is not a lifestyle I understand in any way, being a dog and cat mom. But you think about it and it's like, yeah, I mean, like even in my life, which is not nearly that complicated, I still have moments like that, like mom calls and it's like she, you know, something happened with grandma and like, so talk to her really quick, hang up, get back to work, you're doing this and this. It's, I mean, life happens and you still have to work. So how can you find a way to connect them all in a way that's healthy and allows you to be both, you know, like super mom or super human or super dad or whatever, as well as like all-star worker. I mean, it's that right there, that article like changed me and made me like very nervous about my future. But at the same time, I mean, I think it's so important to, you know, as coaches, you're all starting your businesses, like also think of like, you know, if you are hiring other people, having this sort of understanding and compassion to, you know, they're going to work hard for me as long as I'm allowing them to be present in all areas of their life. And if that means they've got like, you know, 5 minutes where they're, you know, on the phone really quick, checking in with the school, doing something like that, and then hopping back into work. Like, I feel like people work harder for you when you give them that space to be a full human. I mean, would you agree?
No, absolutely. And you definitely hit on the fact that moms and parents, because I know it's a dual effort that you all are just straight superheroes in my book.
No kidding. I read that article and I was like, I need to call my mom and thank her for everything. Because I had a working mom and, okay, I need to call both my parents because both my parents were rock stars. And, you know, just like after reading that, I was like, I mean, there's so much brain power you have to put into a family. And then I'm thinking like, wow, my life is really simple right now. Like no matter how complicated it may get, like it is still so simple because I don't have that added beautiful part of my life at this point.
Yeah. But as you were describing that, like you think of, you know, all the career things, all the family things, but that's not even thinking of them as an individual person still. Mm-hmm. But then think of the space and the time that's needed for that. So definitely that was one of the things I was really curious about, is learning from anyone listening to the podcast that is an employer who has employees of any way. What do you do to create an atmosphere that does honor the whole person? Mm-hmm. Especially starting out as a coach, being a solo entrepreneur, before you bring on employees, you have the time and the space to create what that looks like. Like you are your first employee. So how are you going to honor that for you? Because how you show up, how you create boundaries so that way you can be a full person, work and life, it's going to be the same messaging that you give to your first employee, the second, the third, and so on. So the more you can have kind of conscious decisions about what you want that to look like for you, so you can be successful in both work and life, the more you're going to set your team up for success, which further sets you up for success, because happy, healthy employees are only going to help further build you and the mission that you're on.
Yeah. Boom. Work-life integration. You know, another thing that when I was doing my Googling, BuzzFeed told me.
You and your Googling. I love it.
Well, BuzzFeed told me if you truly love your job, it should never feel like work. Right?
Maybe one of those like buzzers.
Absolutely not. No, it's going to feel like work. Duh. It is work.
And it's okay if things feel like work, right? Exercise. Just because you love exercise doesn't mean you're not sweating. It doesn't mean that your muscles aren't firing and burning mm-hmm. and feeling fatigued. It's great to love your work and to do it, and it might bring you energy, passion, joy, all of those different things. But once you pass a certain hour marker in the day, you're going to feel the work part of it, where mm-hmm. the motivation, the inspiration's not there one day. And even though you might still love your job as a whole, the motivation, inspiration's not there that day. And you, due to discipline, you have to show up, you have to move things forward. But just because you love something does not mean it's not ever going to feel like work, but it's figuring out how can you still love something, still honor you as a person, and have your work fuel your life and your life fuel your work.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I experience this a lot because I do love what I do. I love, you know, putting this podcast together. I love creating videos. It's really exciting. I definitely get a high from it. And there are days when my hand hurts. And there are days when my brain is just like, maybe I've like gone like creative overboard, and it just like, there are days that it doesn't feel right. But then there are more days where I'm really, really enjoying it. So I think you can love your job, but also realize that, you know, it's okay if it feels like work sometimes, because it is work. So let's talk about how can we successfully achieve this new form of work-life balance, which is now work integration. What are your thoughts on that, Ms. Schmuckers?
I always definitely defer to working with a coach or working with somebody to help you kind of sift through things, because it is going to be specific to you. But the first thing is always just to check in. If you were just to kind of notice, if you were to put both hands in front of you, or say your left hand is work, your right hand is life, which one is pulling more of your resources right now? Is work really draining everything that you've got? Or is, you know, you might be in the middle of a life crisis or moving states, houses, getting married. Like, there's so many activities, events that occur throughout our life that cause way more focus than other times. So just notice, in terms of those two scales, which one is pulling more of your mental, physical energy right now. And once we have that level of awareness, we can say, okay, do I want to keep continuing this? We have the choice then to say, like, yes, keep it at this balance, or wow, that I didn't realize how far out of balance that had gotten. So I don't want to keep continuing that. Physically, mentally, I can't keep continuing that. What am I going to shift here? And then that's where you get to take that step back and assess what change you want to make, and then start making the strides. But if anything, I would say, as long as you can do a minimum of one thing a day that you want to be doing for yourself, so that way when you get to the end of your life, you're not constantly saying, oh, well, you know, I hit all of those goals in my career, but what were the personal goals that you had for yourself as well? And just make sure that each day, no matter how small, even if it's just thanking yourself for still having that dream of yours and not losing sight of it, just check in with yourself and do one thing a day towards your personal goals as well as your work, no matter how small it is. And then that way, you know, you're contributing to both of those buckets. Because sometimes we're in, you know, the middle of a big project, work is always going to get out of balance. We've got to push towards that deadline. But then as soon as it's over, check in and see, okay, how can I give back to my life now? How can I lift this back up so it's not quite suffering the way that it was when I chose to give more of my resources to work?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you know, something else Carrie and Stacey talk about a lot is when, you know, like, make a list of all of this. I think it was Carrie on our recent Tuesday tip where she was talking about like that brain power that you have as a mom. And you know, just like all the mental work that you have to do daily. And she made a list and she showed it to her husband. She's like, these are all the things that I'm personally doing that are just for our home. And like going through making that list and being like, well, you know, if it's financially there for you, like maybe something that's like causing you a lot of stress is like the messiness of your house. Or like for me, I love to have somebody come clean my windows because it's like my least favorite thing to do. But where can you find ways to hire out certain things? And it could be for your business as well, to help you achieve this perfect work-life integration. So if it's like getting an assistant to do just like busy work for you for 4 hours a week, and that allows you to go be present somewhere else in your life, then it's worth it, right? I mean, that makes sense to me. And I understand that everybody has, like, you know, those financial capabilities, but also if you look at, like, my time, what is my time worth versus, you know, what can I hire out? You might find a way to make it happen. I did that with my windows.
Absolutely. And it's making those calls. You know, we can do everything, not all at once, but it's also realizing we don't have to do everything. Mm-hmm. So that list is a really, really key thing. But it's just going back to that first stage of building awareness. Sometimes we've committed to too many things. They're still on our calendar. We dread it every time we see it on our calendar. We don't want to show up. Why did I even commit to that thing in the first place? Notice, do you have to still stay committed to it? Was that something that you made a commitment to X amount of months ago? And you need to be real with yourself and say, all right, I'm not showing up to that good anyway. So is this in the best interest of who I committed this to? Or let's have a conversation. How can I switch this? What commitments can I release that are no longer serving me, that are no longer serving other people? Sometimes we just forget, like we move through life too fast, we make all these commitments, and then we're trying to figure out how to fit them all in. And sometimes we just need to clear the decks of certain commitments that aren't serving us anymore, so we do have more space towards the things we really want to put energy towards in our work, in our life. But that's making that list is a cool way to see, whoa, I didn't even realize I had all these commitments on my plate, and no wonder why I was feeling stretched to the max. I wasn't showing up fully in any of these areas. Okay, which ones do I want to keep, and which ones do I no longer want to keep?
Mm-hmm. So we are in week 3 of the Jump into July Challenge. What can we do, or like how would you integrate the Jump into July Challenge into your current life? Like, I mean, this is important. It's I would definitely put this in that like work-life balance thing. Getting up, moving, getting active in your community, that is a great way to do something that's going to help you achieve one of those big 5 areas that you need to start showing up for yourself.
Absolutely. And that's one of the reasons why I like the 3 movements a day, is because you're starting to get to see how movement can or is not currently interweaving in your day seamlessly. Because if you're doing, say, 3 minutes, 3 times a day, maybe that's doing squats while you brush your teeth in the morning. Maybe that's stretching in the evening before you go to bed. And it's just starting to look at the cadence of your days. Do I have really stressful days? Or are my days pretty relaxed right now? And again, that ebb and flow changes depending what's going on in your work and your life. But then you start to see how can movement supplement that? So if my work and my life like so crazy stressed out, how can I add in more movement that is restorative, that's relaxing? So maybe that's yin yoga, maybe that's going for long walks out in nature and sunshine. But in terms of balance, we want to see, is movement like furthering the stress response that we're feeling from work and life? Movement, exercise, it's a really good stress, but if our body is already just like stressed out to the max, then we do want to add in more gentle restorative exercise than say HIIT training, where our system just like, yes, I know this is a good stress, but like, I just can't handle it anymore. So that is one way that you can start to see how you can use movement to balance, you know, if you're stressed out or not stressed out with work and life, you can use movement to balance that. But then even just seeing throughout the day, how does movement interweave? Can you do stretching at night? Can you do stretching in the morning, a walk, squats, anything? Mm-hmm. Even if you're at a meeting during the middle of the day, maybe you guys all take, hey, you know what? Clearly we're going in circles right now. Everybody stand up, quick lap around the office. We'll come back together and we'll all be fresher and more clear thinking because of it.
Mm-hmm. And guys, just so you know, right before we started this podcast, Sam and I were doing squats. And you know, another thing that you can do if you really don't have 3 minutes, for some crazy reason, you don't have 3 minutes, maybe you take that work call and just walk around while you're doing it. I've seen Carrie do that. I've seen Stacy do that. Last time I was up in San Francisco, I saw Eric do that. Most of his calls, he just takes walking around. So if you really don't have that extra space, and it's not like, you know, like a video call or something like that. Just get up and move or get a standing desk. Sam and I both work from standing desks, and they're the best thing that's ever happened to my back.
So helpful. And then your feet can move, and you're just not in that sedentary stuck position, but you can shift your weight easier. So there's so many ways to add movement throughout your day.
Work-life integration with the Jump into July Challenge. Well, Sam, thank you so much for joining us on the Better Than Ever podcast. Again, we always love having you here and learning from you. So what is something that you are going to do this week to achieve your work-life integration goals?
I like that. Mm-hmm. Let's see. This week I am traveling. So I know one of the things I love to do is to bring a notebook with me and go to new places that I want to try for myself. I'm gluten and dairy free. So exploring healthy, fun restaurants is always a great thing I like to do personally. But then while I'm traveling, I like to gain new inspiration. So this is where the coaching career, they start to merge, work and life become one in a way. But I'll be taking my journal and to starting to see which ideas come to me, where we want to expand different things, teach new things, and really use it as a big source of inspiration and walking through cities. So walking will be my main source of movement and then stretching.
Have so much fun. I wish I could be in your suitcase and travel with you. Guys, keep jumping, keep moving. This Jump into July Challenge is not over. And if you haven't joined it, Sam, is it too late for somebody to join us? Can they hang out with us for the rest of the challenge?
You can join. Still join us. There's still about 12-ish or so more days in the challenge. And if anything, this way you get the material, you get the participant. It. You get to see how other people began to get healthy, different resources available to you. But the biggest thing is getting connected with the community so that way you can continue the inspiration, motivation long after Jump into July ends.
And guys, again, that website is jumpintojuly.com. Super simple because it's the name of the challenge. So you can just literally type that into your Googler. Thank you again for joining us. We are so excited to have you guys participating in this or at least listening to the podcast. Like, thank you, thank you, thank you. And if you want to follow us these last few weeks for the Jump into July HCI challenge, you can follow me at underscore HDTV underscore. And Sam, what was your Instagram handle again?
You can find me over at revived underscore living.
Great. Well, we can't wait to see you guys. Keep rocking that movement. As we have stated, work-life balance is not a thing. It is work integration. So thank you guys so much for joining us on the Better Than Ever podcast. Keep jumping into July with HCI.
Thanks for tuning in to Better Than Ever, a Health Coach Institute podcast. For more information on our programs, please go to www.healthcoachinstitute.com. Comment and share if you like what you hear.